I want to take some time to work through this parenting teenagers. Encouraging spiritual growth in your teen, we can think about it two different ways. The notes you're going to receive are written, if you were a parent, they'll be easy for you to hear and apply. If you're a counselor, it'll be very easy to take what you're hearing and apply it in the counseling setting. Teenagers provide some unique opportunities. We have a man and his wife who work with our teenagers. He has his master's degree in counseling. That's an important degree with that group because, man, he's doing counseling all the time. Engaging the teens, but really, more importantly, engaging their parents. And so when we think about parenting and we think about counseling, I would hope this will be beneficial for you as we think through it. The purpose of this lecture, just a couple of things. One, some basic reminders for spiritual growth. Some of those we won't spend that long on just because we've been talking through those already. As well, some helpful do's and don'ts in relationship to, if you're parenting, it'll help you think through it that way. If you're not, if you're just counseling, it'll possibly give voice to what you're already thinking through as you try to counsel other people. Some specific ideas for encouraging the growth of your child. And the fourth one, helping the student transition from emotional decisions to consistent living based upon the Word of God. And so I trust that this will be a blessing to you. Why don't we ask God to bless our time together? Lord, thanks for the break we just received, for the blessing of brothers and sisters in Christ to talk to, even for the snacks we've had. Just trust that even this hour, you would help us think carefully about how to minister to young people that you love, young people that are yours. As much as we like to think about our children being ours, in all reality, we recognize that as they've received Christ, they're absolutely yours. And as much as we love, you love more. As much as we're concerned, you're concerned more. As much as we hope, your plan has so much more hope in it. So, Lord, I just trust that you would grant us wisdom even as we think through encouraging spiritual growth in our children. May you receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk briefly about understanding the world of your teenager. A challenging context, to say the least. Let's think through it in two different ways. First, let's consider the parents. The parents of a teenager are at least, most of them, getting into early 40s for some, maybe late 30s, depending on when they started having children. And that can range as parents wait longer to have children. You know, some early teenager parents, mid-50s, some of them even pushing 60 for having teenagers. Well, in that age range, and I know that's a broad age range, many of them have already spent the last, and if this is the last of several children, many of them have spent years and years and years doing the kid thing. And they've spent a long time working to be a good parent or to be an engaged parent. They've done little leagues and they've done all the diaper changing, just all the stuff that we would consider part of typical life in the home. So you get a parent who now has been working at a job for a long time. They're past their education. They're past the glory years of just thinking how cool being a parent is at some level. So they've been engaged with their children for a long time. You get to that particular parent, and what you realize is that this parent is in a position where they're now needing to make the most money that they can make for the period of time that they're in to prepare them toward retirement. So parents are ramping up at the job level. They're ramping up in terms of engaged with other people at work, with possibly other people in the church. Their lifestyle is different. They're freer than what they used to be when they had children. They were changing diapers, stuff like that. Life is just changing for the parent. Sometimes when we think about rebellion in teenagers, we think about how bad the teenagers are. We talk about, well, they're in this particular time of life, and we'll talk about that kind of life in just a moment. But we don't want to forget that there's parents involved too, and they're in a particular time of life. And sometimes those two times of life collide, and it's not always the teenager that has his foot on the throttle. The parent sometimes creates part of the pressure Because, again, they've got friends. Their friends possibly have children already out of the house. They're doing cruises. They're doing all these different activities. But you've got this teenager at home that you're supposed to parent. So what are some possible idols? Well, let me just give you a couple to jot down. One would be comfort. A parent's done all that he wants to do, and he's ready now to live a little bit more comfortable. He doesn't want to be as engaged, maybe a little bit tired. Dad goes to work, and he gets respect at work. He's been through a variety of positions. Now he's toward the top of his particular business. Maybe he owns the business. At work, what he says goes, and everybody listens to him, and they respond to him, and he just has to wish things, and they start happening. Well, he comes home, and he can wish all he wants, but that child, unless that child's told specifically, just saying, boy, I'm thirsty, doesn't make a teenager jump up and say, Dad, can I serve you? Can I give you a drink? Can I provide you something? So it's a shift. There is an adjustment between life at work and life at church and sometimes life at home because he's not getting the same kind of respect that he desires. Sometimes it's a love of appreciation that might be a parent's idol. I do this, 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 and this. I've been working hard. Now, the child doesn't know your finances. The child doesn't know how much you're trying to save for them to go to college or for vehicles. They just have questions. Can I get this? Can I get that? What about a car, Dad? Are you going to pay my insurance? Right? All these questions from a child, they don't know all the stuff the parent's trying to think through along the journey of getting this child to the age to drive. And so the parent can easily shift because they realize all the sacrifices they're making. And it's easy as a parent to begin to live for appreciation. I do this and this and this and this, and look at the appreciation I get. You just want more. Maybe a parent has had success in several different areas and now he wants it more and better and continued success. Possibly it's control. Possibly it's independence. You've got people at work, depending on what environment you work in, there's a lot of workplaces by the time you hit late 40s, early 50s, a lot of people have had children. The children are out of the home. Now that they're empty nesters, some of them are divorcing because there aren't kids to keep them engaged. Some of them are moving on with life. Some of them are with another spouse and or they're married, I should say, and then as part of being married, they're maybe well off or they have more money or whatever it is. And so that's creating greater opportunities to go do things and to have fun. And so they're coming to work and they're describing the trips they're taking, the weekend here and the weekend there and all these other things. And it's easy for a parent who still has a teenager at home to begin thinking, I just want independence. I'm tired of this. So before we jump on teenagers, we just want to remember that sometimes it's the parent that has a lot of idolatry going on that creates a harder environment for a child to honor God in. So at least let's begin with the parents. What about the teen? Well, the teen's at an age. There's all kinds of stuff going on. They're in a position of the fact that they are around other teens. They're in a lifestyle that's much different than mom and dad. Even mom and dad have a struggle engaging the teenager because today's life, as much as we and I and you hate to think about it, the kids we have today are in a much different environment than when we grew up. And the world just continues to change and morph. So the child has all kinds of pressures. The child has other teens that are saying, well, this is what my mom and dad are letting me do. Or, I don't care about my mom and dad, this is what I'm going to do. The child has people at church. If your teenager's at church, they may or may not be good influences. The child is trying to live to particular standards, right? There's all kinds of things going on in this child's life that can create pressure. And can create an environment where it's hard to respond in a godly way. They have friends that either do or do not honor God. We're not sure. Sometimes. So what are their possible idols? We've got a few of them listed here for you. Material possessions. That may be a lot like parents, but still, it's the sense in which